and an apology. I'm never going to make them pay for what they've done, right? Joseph at this point in his life is thinking, what, all this evil, there's nothing I can do about it. Do you see that, church? We see the story at the end, but again, as I say all the time, stop right in the middle and be Joseph right there. He's thinking, man, I haven't seen my brothers for 13 years. I got no idea if they're alive. I got no idea where they are. I don't know anything. All I know is I've got this life I'm living now, and I need to decide either I'm going to move forward or I'm going to continue to let my past poison what I'm doing today. Yeah? We finished up last Sunday really about Joseph being sold, right? I said last Sunday, right at the end, there's human trafficking right here. Joseph was trafficked, right? 20 pieces of silver, by the way, I looked it up. 20 pieces of silver, the most money back then, the most money I found that worth was, a little bit weird to try to make it, modernize it, but they're saying the most money that 20 pieces of silver was maybe worth at that time was enough to buy food for about 2 months. So his brothers sold a human being for enough money to buy food, go to McDonald's for a couple months. Wow. Isn't that crazy? That's the value that they saw in their brother. I'm trying to get you to understand how much pain Joseph was potentially carrying. And he just sat in prison thinking about it all day long for years and years and years. Amen. Yeah? Let's pause. I want to pray here just for a moment. Father, we ask right now by the Spirit of God living inside of us that you help us to understand, not in our flesh, but in our spirit, man, what you're trying to say to us this morning, God. Help us to help something to click. We don't want just our brains to work, God, but we want a revelation. So, Lord, we receive that now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. So, Joseph forgot about it. He let go of it. There was nothing he could do to change what had happened to him. My beloved, I'll venture to say that all of us have had something really bad happen to us, that we've been sold, if you will. We've all been betrayed. We've all been hurt. We've all been wounded, right? And to each of us, right? You ever hear someone else tell you their story, and you're like, well, that ain't that bad. Come on, is that true? Right? You're like, well, we try to one-up each other. Well, let me tell you what happened to me, right? It turns into this dysfunctional competition. How dysfunctional can we be, right? It's like we're at a dysfunctional auction. You know, like we're just trying to get somebody to tell us how much more dysfunctional their life is than our life is, or how much more pain they're in, whatever. But to me, what I've experienced, my pain is real. And your pain is real, right? And we got to stop comparing our pain and our dysfunction and our trauma with everybody else's. God sees me in my trauma, and he cares about what happened to me. He cares about what happened to you. And the thing is he's trying to, he don't care about it like we care about someone else's, you know, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. There's nothing I can do about it, right? I can just say I feel badly for you, I'll pray for you, whatever, amen. But, right, God looks at us with care because he says, I want to climb inside of you and heal what's been done to you. I want to set you free. I hung my son on a cross, shed his blood. He died and rose again so that I could climb inside of you and actually fix what's wrong. Yeah? We should not be, my beloved, I'm just going to look over here. We should not be 30, 40 years in the Lord and walking broken like we were when we started. Amen. See, God does not need you or I to be where you and I think we need to be in order to make us fruitful. We think that in order to be fruitful, all these outside circumstances need to be good. Is that not true? We think, man, this crazy neighbor needs to get his act together over here. This guy lives across the street, right? Some of you saw my Facebook video a couple weeks ago about this woodpecker that likes to bang on the speed limit sign across the street from my house. This morning, 4:30 a.m., he's out there, bang, 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 banging on the street sign. I'm like, that woodpecker's going to have an accident, I think, pretty soon, on purpose. Bro, come on, right? But you see what I'm saying, church? We think that things that are differently than we think they should be need to get better in order for us to become fruitful people, right? It is not true. It is not true. Not only is it not true, but God may be orchestrating some of the things that are difficult for us in order to make our grapes a little bit sweeter. Yeah? See, my beloved, I was stuck. I'm trying to help some of you. I was stuck for years thinking that situations that seemed to be against me were preventing me from becoming fruitful. But you know what? I figured out that at least some of those things are actually there to help me become fruitful. Yeah? Because God's grinding some flesh off of my life with things that are unpleasant. Yeah? Anybody ever prayed for peace? How about patience? How about you prayed to help? Oh God, help me love better. What happened? I literally, this morning, there was somebody sent me a TikTok, and it was Morgan Freeman, and it was some movie scene, and he's literally asking this lady the same. My notes were already done. Literally the same thing right here. Like I watched this thing and then wrote my notes. But he's looking in the movie scene. This is what he says. He goes, so if you ask God for patience, do you think God's going to give you patience, or is he going to give you an opportunity to work on your patience? If you ask God to help me, as we heard this morning, as a testimony, help me love my family better. Is God going to give you warm, fuzzy feelings for this crazy family member? No. No, he will not. What he's going to do is he's going to expose what's wrong with you, that you have a problem with this family member that's driving you up a wall, and he's going to give you an opportunity to get over yourself and love this person that you deem to be unlovable. Well, God, give me some peace. He's like, God says something. Here's peace. Blah. No, he's going to give you a storm and then say, get a pillow and take a nap in the back of the boat where Jesus is at. Yeah? Because God, see, the church, you don't need Jesus to be at peace if there's no storm. The world can do that on their own. Can I get an amen? Jesus says, even sinners love people who love them back. Unbelievers can do that, right? He's saying, no, I want you to live in such a way, such a supernatural way, that it does not matter what's going on around you. You are the same person whether the storm's raging or whether it's quiet. You're the same person if everybody's being nice to you or nobody's being nice to you. You're the same person you got money in the bank or there's no money in the bank. You're the same person if things are going well or if things are not going well. Is that true? Genesis 48:20, here's the blessing. Just wrapping it up here. Then we're going to, got to go fast. Here we go. You know what? I just realized somehow my computer a couple days ago backed itself up an hour. So my computer says it's only 10:30. I like this time right here. Amen. Genesis 48:20, look at this. He blessed them that day saying, by you, Israel pronounced blessing saying, may God make you, who's you right here? You is us. He's talking to Israel, which is us, church. Do you see this, right? This is a blessing he's speaking over us. Amen? May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus, Jacob put Ephraim before Manasseh. And my conclusion last Sunday, right at the end, was this, and then we're going to move forward. You need to forget in order to become fruitful. That's what the Lord told me. You need to forget in order to become fruitful, right? The firstborn is Manasseh, secondborn is Ephraim. You got to forget to become fruitful. But then the Lord said, but you need to be fruitful in order to keep forgetting. Right? Because things are going to continue to go wrong. things are going to continue to happen to you. People are going to continue to hurt you and betray you and all these other things. And if we focus so much on forgiving, which we should, I'm going to tell you that in just a few moments. I just think we've got this backwards in the church. Should we forgive? Absolutely. There are some really powerful scriptures about forgiving and what happens if we don't forgive people. Amen. Yeah, is that true? But I think that we've got it wrong in the sense that we've focused so much on how hard we try so hard to forgive everybody, when God's saying, if you would focus on being fruitful, then forgiving people is going to just come automatically. Yeah? Think about this. In this culture, when Jacob blessed Ephraim, right? We had the demonstration last Sunday where he crossed his hands over. You guys remember that? Jacob is blind, but still crosses his hands over and blesses Ephraim instead of Manasseh as the blessing of the firstborn. If you know the culture then, the firstborn son gets a what, church? A double blessing, a double portion, right? And so we didn't talk about this last week, but what I feel like God's saying to us is this, that Ephraim, or being fruitful, is twice as important as being forgetful. And it's like, I feel like God's saying to me, the church, we spend twice as much time trying to forgive folks as we spend trying to be fruitful. And if we spend twice as much time focusing on being fruitful as we try to forgive people, he says, you forgive people way easier if you spend twice as much time working on being a fruitful follower of Christ. Because if you've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, just self-control, whatever eight is, I always miss eight. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. I just never get it. Kevin, it's always your fault, right? Goodness, something's in there, gentleness, whatever. But think about it, church. Do you know someone in your life that you would say, man, this person just forgives everybody all the time? Anybody know somebody like that? Just raise your hand if you know somebody. Hopefully you all know somebody. How would you describe that person? Huh, I bet we would describe them as they love people, they got joy, they got peace, they got patience, they got kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Sounds to me like that person that just lives in forgiveness. Man, how'd you forgive everybody for that? How'd you forgive that? How'd you forgive that? You know what? Probably because they got the word, the fruit of the Holy Ghost working inside of them all the time. Yeah? Because bitterness, the opposite of forgiveness is bitterness. Is that true? Right? The only way bitterness stays is if you're drinking bitter water. Yeah? Mark 11, just a few scriptures here about forgiveness. Whenever you stand praying, oh, hang on, Alex. We don't have Ruth back there. It's not quite as smooth with our transitions. Alex, we up there? Whenever you stand praying, come on, church, what's it say? Forgive. If you have anything, sounds like it's pretty inclusive, yeah? Well, Pastor, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. Well, I don't know. It doesn't say forgive everything except so-and-so and what so-and-so did to you. This says, if you have anything against, ever say anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Is he talking about getting saved right here, or is he talking about after you got saved? Yeah, yeah. Come on, church. We get forgiven when we say yes to Jesus, but then our ongoing forgiveness, anybody has done anything since you got saved you need to be forgiven of? Don't raise your hand, because that's everybody. Amen, right? Our ongoing forgiveness, apparently, according to Jesus, is somehow connected with our fruitfulness. Yeah? Is that true? Next one, Matthew chapter 6. Very similar concept here. Matthew chapter 6 says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Yowzer. You know, let me just pause right here, because if we don't read this properly, I think we can get it twisted around. A few weeks back, I preached on something, I forget, might have been in this topic, but I talked about the scripture that says, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? We all know that one. And literally the next day, I saw somebody sent me like a TikTok or something, and there's this young preacher I like to watch, and he was talking about it like a panel discussion, right? And he was saying, think about if you take the scripture, Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And here's how we can hear that in our culture, because our culture is so twisted and manipulating. Everybody's trying to manipulate everybody in our culture. Is that true? Yeah? We're always trying to get one up on somebody. And he says, if we read that improperly, what we could hear is like, anybody ever hear somebody, spouses is typically the number one place we say, if you love me, you would do this. Right? It's manipulative. Right? Is that what Jesus is saying? Is Jesus manipulating us? If you love me, you'll keep my... No. He's saying the way you know that your love for me is increasing is that you automatically are lining up with what I want you to do. Yeah? If we're walking by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that there is no law against that. Because, why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to have us flying. If we're really walking by the Holy Ghost, we'll be flying 30,000 feet above the law. We don't even think about it because we're automatically fulfilling the law. Is that true? Y'all see that? So this is what Jesus is saying here. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, he will not forgive your transgressions. We can't look at it as this weird manipulative thing, right? Oh my gosh. We freak out. Oh my gosh, what if I, you know, like we've got some kind of hidden thing that, oh my gosh, did I forgive Keith that one time that he took my parking spot in the church? Right? And we start freaking out like it's fear-based. And it's like, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you are my disciple, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, living the way I want you to live, you will forgive people because you want to. Yeah? John 20. Is this all right, everybody? So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were, everybody say shut. Where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So these guys are bold as a lion. Amen. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, everybody say this with me. Peace be with you. Okay, question. Love, joy. Oh, number three, ain't it? Peace. Everybody say peace. So what's Jesus come? Jesus comes in to it's locked, all locked up. He just comes right through the wall. He's resurrected here. He's about ready to ascend. Amen. He comes in. What's he say? Peace be with you, right? And when he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, come on, church. Peace. Number three, right? On the list, love, joy, peace. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Look at the next thing he says here. Receive the Holy Spirit. Next thing. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Whoa, come on, church. I don't know if you're catching this or not, but Jesus says twice, peace be with you. He breathes on them. I'm not going to breathe on Kevin. He'll fall over. I got preacher breath up here. Amen. Right? But he blows on them. He breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. He says peace twice. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Here's the Holy Spirit, because peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing he says is forgive. Whoa. Now, this is a crazy scripture, ain't it? If you forgive anybody, their sins will be forgiven. And if you retain it, they'll be retained. Whoa. Now, if we read this one wrong, we can think that Jesus is giving us some kind of supernatural power to forgive people of their sins, right? People could reject Jesus, but could be forgiven because we forgave them. No. No. Everybody say no. No. I think what's going on here, this is a tough scripture to grab onto, but I think what's going on here is he's saying most people, if they've lived wrong, everybody knows, I knew I was living wrong before anybody told me I was living wrong. Can I get an amen? Right? Come on, church. I never went to church my whole life. I knew I was doing stuff that was wrong. right? Why? Because we're made in God's image. God cares about us. He loves us. He's talking to everybody all the time. I'm talking to the most wicked, horrible human being that lives on this planet right now. God's talking to them because he loves them and they're made in his image. If you got that person, I'm talking whatever you think is the most horrifying thing that a human could ever do, I guarantee you at some point that person has got a thought jumps into their head thinking, I should stop doing what I'm doing. Guaranteed. I guarantee it. Yeah? I think what happens though, because the devil is so good at keeping people bound in that, what Jesus is saying to us, if we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we've got the peace of God working in our life, we can go to somebody and say, look, man, I know what you did. And it's all right. We can offer forgiveness this way because this person is so scared to go this way. You understand? We can show kindness to somebody who thinks, I don't deserve any kind of kindness because of what I've done. Yeah? Do you guys see that? It's impossible, my beloved, without the peace of the Holy Spirit working in our life. Yeah? All right, we're doing good here on time. So let me just review about being fruitful here for a moment, add a few thoughts on here, and then we're going to finish up with a passage out of the Old Testament, and I'm going to preach for like an hour on it. It's so good. Fruitful, again, love. I think I got all nine now. Love. Come on, church. Let's say it together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Right? There's your nine. Praise God. I always forget number eight for some reason, but I got it there. Right? So fruit, if we talk about in our culture, something that's fruitful typically is something that's very big. Is that true? Right? Fruitful ministry, all kinds of people coming. Not biblical at all. It's really not. And here's why it's not biblical. Because I've been pastoring long enough. Pastor Al, you pastored for a little bit of time. Amen. There's preachers probably watching us online. I don't know. All of us have been involved with relationships of some level and some nature or whatever. And you know what I figured out? I have approximately this much control, approximately, over who decides to come here and who does not. I'm talking even just on a week-to-week basis, Kevin. I used to get so mad. Man, I'm just going to be real, church. I used to get so mad when folks, Pastor, I'm not going to make it to church on Sunday. I mean, the church I got saved in, if you miss church on one Sunday, you was halfway to hell already. Can I get an amen? Is that come on. And man, when the Spirit of the Lord started working on me with this, I remember with this young lady here, awesome, awesome young lady. She's married now, a bunch of kids, moved away. But she called me one day, and like on a Friday, and she says, hey, Pastor, I'm not going to be at church on Sunday. I was like, all right, we'll see you next week. Dada, he'd been working on me for a while on this one. And she's like, what? She's like, what? On the phone, what? I said, I'll see you next week. She's like, don't you want to know where I'm going to be? I was like, not really. Not really. Like, I'm glad. Are you okay? Is everything okay? As long as everything's okay, cool. No worries. See you next week. Amen? Right? And I still realized, like, oh my goodness gracious. We make such a big deal out of folks coming to church every Sunday. Should we come to church every Sunday? Everybody says yes. Hey, amen. Yes, we should. Amen. But my gosh, go on vacation once in a while. You know, goodness gracious. Do something fun once in a while. Can I get an amen? God's not falling off a stone because you missed a Sunday. Yeah? Come on, church. Right? When we go on vacation, I'm going to tell y'all a secret. We don't go to church. How many of y'all go on vacation and work while you're on vacation? Yeah, exactly. Nobody. Right? I go on vacation. I'm like, no, we're not going to church for 2 weeks in a row. Amen. That's why I take 2 weeks on Sundays when I'm on vacation. Yeah. Come on. I think it's healthy to miss church once in a while. Just once in a while. Is that all right, Kevin? Yes. Because most times you're like, man, I got to get back in church. Amen, right? So I don't know where I was going with this. I think my point was this. Why would God hold my fruitfulness? Why would God hold me accountable? If we're talking about fruitfulness, is how many people come to my church, just as an example, right? Why would he hold me accountable for something I have zero control over? Is that true? God's not going to hold me accountable for whether or not Keith decides he's going to walk with Jesus for the rest of his life or not. Right? Let me tell you something else. All you folks that got grown kids that are not doing well, you are no longer responsible for that grown child's walk with the Lord. Amen. You need to love them and be kind to them and all that, but they're on their own. They're grown up folks. I don't care what they do. I know so many grown people with grown children that their kids went off the rails and their lives fell apart because they're like, oh no, what did I do wrong? I don't know. Maybe nothing. They're grown folks. They're making their own decisions. They're watching whatever they're watching on television, listen whatever they're listening to, all kinds of things. That is a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old person making their own choices. They're no longer under your responsibility. Can I get an amen? Right? Come on, church. That's the truth right there. Let yourself off the hook. Yeah? Pray for them. Be kind. But God's not holding you accountable for your messed up grown-up kids. That's good news for somebody. Yeah? So fruitfulness, my beloved, is character. It is who you are before God. Not what you do, not how successful you are. Because here's the fruitfulness. Oh, no. I can tell you how many conversations I've had. Pastor, I don't feel like I'm doing anything for Jesus. Okay, well, what should you do? I don't know. I guess you're in trouble then, because I don't know either. Come on. But we've done that in church, right? That's exactly what we've done in church. Church, we've told people that unless you're out there winning souls for Jesus 8 days a week, 27 hours a day, you are backslidden and you better get right. Man, is that wrong. Come on. I don't know. We're a soul-saving church. That is not in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible anywhere. You know, the Bible says, he who endures to the end is saved. Receive as a reward the salvation of your soul. You made it, man. You didn't give up, right? You didn't, no. Just because somebody said yes to Jesus, your soul ain't saved. You started your race. As long as you keep on right with God, you get hit by a bus tomorrow, you're going to go the right direction, probably. Right? Come on, church. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Fruitfulness is not about what I'm doing for Jesus. It's about who I'm becoming for Jesus. Can he look at me and he sees his reflection? Yeah? That's what matters, my beloved. I hope that's helping somebody. Because I tell you what, as a young pastor, it was so discouraging for me when I'd see other churches and they'd growing like crazy, hundreds of people coming. And I'd be like, what on earth am I doing wrong? And finally God was like, you know what's funny? He didn't tell me I wasn't doing anything wrong. He's like, oh, you're doing plenty of stuff wrong. But stop looking at that church. You don't pastor that church, you pastor this one. This is your church right here. Don't worry about that church over there, right? That's what Jesus says to Peter when he says, hey, what's going to happen to John? Jesus says, don't worry about John. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to work with John. Don't worry about John. You worry about you. Is that good, church? You know what? I'm just going to look over here. Just one last thing before I get too much trouble. Spouses, I'm just going to say something right here. I'm going to look right. See, this thing, I can see y'all reflecting off the drum shield. So I'm actually looking at you right now. Amen. Right? But look at spouses. Your job, I'm going to look right down here. Your job, I can see myself now. Your job is not to change your spouse. Your job is to change you and let God deal with your spouse. Amen. If you're trying to change your spouse, you are wasting your time. Wasting your time. Yeah? If nobody's going to follow you, if you're not a good follower, you know what we're going to do here, Kevin? We're not going to do a leadership conference at our church. We're going to do a followership conference. We're going to have to pay people to come to that one. Come, we'll give you, there's a door prize. Right? Right? But we want, see here, church, we want people to follow us, but we're not following anybody. Right? I'm not just talking about having a pastor. That's a whole other mess. I'm talking about if I'm following Jesus to the best of my ability, you know what? My wife's going to want to follow me. My kids will want to follow me because I'm following somebody. Yeah? Exodus chapter 23. We're going to finish up right here. And according to my computer clock, I still have 1 hour and 8 minutes. Amen. Talk about being fruitful. You know what? There's one more passage of scripture here. We got time. I won't be too much longer. You know, forget it. We'll get it maybe next week. Here we go. Exodus 23, verse 20. This is God. This is Moses. Not God. This is Moses speaking to the people from the Lord about getting into the promised land. Everybody say the promised land. Here we go. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So let me just say this. This is after the passage of scripture, my notes here. But I am fully convinced, maybe I'll preach something about it soon. I'm fully convinced there's still a promised land for us right here. Fully convinced of it. I can prove it in scripture. It's just different than what we think it is. Amen. So I want you, as we read this passage, I want you to think about you. Just go like this. Put your hand on your heart and say, I still have a promised land. All right. Every one of you, everybody online with us right here, you have a promised land still. God's got something for you to go get. Amen. So I want us to think about this is God talking to us about our promised land. So look at, here's this first verse, verse 20. What does God say here? I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place which I have prepared. So is there any issue with the place that God's taking us? No, it's already done. Is that true? Look at, if he sent an angel in the old covenant, is he still going to send an angel in this covenant? Absolutely. You know, I think it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what I think. Verse 21, look at what he says here. Be on your guard before him. Who's him here? The angel, actually specifically the angel, right? That's who he's talking about. Be on your guard before, because it's lowercase h, yeah? Be on your guard before the angel and obey his voice. Oh boy, here we go. Got quiet. I knew it was going to get quiet. Look it. Obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him. For he, who's he? The angel will not pardon your transgression since my, capital M, name is in him. I'm convinced the angel is the Holy Spirit, everybody. The Holy Spirit is not here to forgive me. That's what Jesus did. Holy Spirit's here to empower me. The only unforgivable sin is what? Blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Is that not true? Yeah, we're seeing an old covenant shadow of new covenant truth. Look it. Now here's what, verse 22. Everybody say, but. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, this is God speaking through this angel, then, everybody say then. Look at, here's the promises. I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Let me pause right here. I told you I was going to preach on this just a little bit, right? My beloved, I'm telling you right now, I've lived here for years, got the Blu-ray, DVD combo, t-shirts, I got postcards, I got everything. I had a timeshare over here for a little while. The Holy Spirit would talk to me about something. He talked to me about it. He'd say, son, I don't want you doing that anymore. And I'd be like, well, gosh, how come Keith can do this and I can't? How come? And I'd get all bent out of shape, and it was personal things in my life, nothing in scripture, personal things. God said, look, I don't want you doing that anymore. I've got this call on your life. You cannot do this and have this. It doesn't work that way. Now, you can live. I used to say to God, I know all kinds of pastors that are playing video games all the time. That was my thing, was video games. Most of you know that, right? And God said, I don't want you playing video games anymore. Church, I'm telling you what, some of you saw me one time, we played video games here, and I was a jerk. It was terrible. Amen, right? There's something happens to me like this monster comes out of me when I play video games. It is the ugliest thing ever. I might as well be doing drugs or drinking or something. I don't know. But it is there's an ugly thing that happens to me. I get so angry. It's bad. Amen. Right? I start ignoring my kids. I don't want to talk to my wife. I'm telling you the truth, church, right? I'm not trying to be funny about this stuff, right? I'm not saying video games are bad, but I ain't saying they're good. Amen. Right? Some of you grown-up men, you need to stop playing video games so much, especially if you got kids and a wife at home just looking over here at the wall. Amen. Look, if you can play video games for an hour, turn it off. Amen. It's like watching the game for an hour, turn it off. Amen. But if you're one of those guys up all night playing video games, turn it off and throw it in the trash can because it's stealing your destiny in the Lord. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody? Yeah. So, think about this. God says, if you listen to the voice of my angel and truly obey his, everybody say voice, then God Almighty says, I will be an adversary to your adversaries and an enemy to your enemies. So let's flip this thing on and say, if I decide that I'm not going to obey the voice, if I'm going to say to God, whatever, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know what God will not do is be an enemy to my enemies and an adversary to my adversaries. He says, good luck with that, Junior. I'm going to let you keep on grinding this thing out in your own strength, keep stumbling all over yourself, keep making a mess out of your life until you decide that you want to listen to what I told you to do. It ain't about going to heaven, church. It's about living like hell when I'm down here.
Amen.
Video games. Some of you are like, video games, that is so dumb. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Can I get anybody? Come on, let's be real. We're all family here. Has anybody overcome something? Now you're free of it, that it took you a long time to get out of it. Don't you look back and be like, man, that was so dumb. For every time, you're like, man, that was stupid. I should have gave that up a long time ago. Yeah? Do you see this, church? Next verse gets better. My angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I, who's I here? God Almighty will completely destroy them. You, now he looks at you. He says, so they're dead. Do you see this, church? They're dead, but you know what's left? Their idols. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. Do you see this? God's saying, I'll take care of the actual enemy, but you will take care of the spiritual junk that's left. But you, verse 25, shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I, who's I? God Almighty will remove sickness from your midst. Yikes. So what happens, potentially, if I'm not listening to the voice of the angel who's got the Lord's name in him? If I decide not to listen, is God going to remove sickness from my midst? Apparently not. Huh. Yikes. Come on, church. He's talking about the promised land here, not getting saved. Right? Look at verse 26. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. Now, is he talking about physical or spiritual? Everybody say yes. Yes. Both. It's door number three. All of the above, option C. Can I get an amen? Right? No one is miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. Here we go, church, almost done. I will not drive them out before you in what? A single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But I will drive them out before you. Everybody say this together. little by little, until you become forgetful. Oh, until you forgive everybody that's ever been mean to you. No, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Now, church, obviously, I think if you're not picking this up, this specific, when Moses spoke, when God was speaking this through Moses to the people, fruitfulness is literally how many kids they got. Yeah, he's saying you need to become a bigger nation, right? Which is how we've built this concept into the modern day church, right? For there's a lot of people. No, if we understand that there's still a promised land for each one of us, God is saying, look, there is stuff living in your land that I will go ahead of you and I will chase this stuff out and I will do this. If you listen to my voice, I will deal with this stuff. You ain't got to deal with it. I'll deal with it. But what I need you to do is to become fruitful. And as you become more and more fruitful, as you become more and more like Christ, as you allow the Spirit of God to develop the nature of Christ more and more and more in you, so there's less and less flesh, more and more Holy Ghost, more and the more I get squeezed, it's just Jesus coming out, man. You go ahead, squeeze me all day. You're going to get Jesus all over you. You can say anything you want to me, and I'm going to be kind. You can say anything you want to me, and I'm going to be gentle. Well, no, let's fight. No, you can fight by yourself. I ain't fighting. I ain't done with that stuff. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. I will not fight. You want to sit down and have a conversation? We'll have a conversation. You want to fight? You're on your own. I ain't doing that. Yeah? Do you see this, my beloved? God says, the reason that this has taken so long, he says, it's already done. It's already prepared for you. I know exactly where I want you to go. I know exactly who I want you to be. I know exactly what I have ready for you. What's preventing it is not them, it's you. You are the one that's choosing to dig in your heels and say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to listen to you, God. I'm not going to do it that way. That's stupid. That don't make no sense at all. On and on and on and on. We dig our heels in and we think, oh, that's foolish. That doesn't make any sense at all. Well, you know what, church? Most of the things in the kingdom of God make no sense to your human brain. The kingdom of God is countercultural. That's not the phrase I want, but you know what I mean. It's backwards, right? Like we think I got to do this. God's saying, no, actually do that, right? I need money. He says, give. No, I need, you didn't hear me right. Hang on. I need money. He says, no, I heard you good. Go give some money to that person. What? Right? Can I get an amen, church? Because I'm either going to trust my bank account, which I don't know about your bank account, but my bank account is not giving me a lot of confidence right now. Or I'm just going to say, all right, fine. You know, you said you're going to provide for me, so whatever. Yeah? Is this all right? So Proverbs 25:28, listen to this one. Again, talking about being fruitful here. We're almost done. Let's stand up. I'm done right here. Here's Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Lowercase s. Whoa. Like a city broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. So hear me right here, church. If you heard nothing else all morning, it's only 11:05 on my computer. We waste so much time striving against our enemies, fighting against this or that, grinding against this temptation or that temptation, stumbling over this or that, whatever it might be. I was listening to this song the other day. Somebody sent me this song, and I was listening to this song, and it was just, this guy claims to be a Christian, this artist, and it was such a negative song. Like, I'm really starting to pay more and more attention to song lyrics. It was so negative. And I was waiting for it to, like, turn around, you know? Like, okay, this is all bad, 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 bad. But then Jesus came, and now it's awesome. No, it was just bad, 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 bad the whole way through. And I said, oh, my gosh, you know? And then I heard some young preacher the other day, and this man, all he talked about was the devil. the devil, like Satan. Satan was messing with me. Satan this, Satan that, Satan on and on and on. Oh my goodness gracious. And I thought about this preacher I heard years ago, and this preacher, this is what he said. It's going to offend somebody. Get ready to be offended. Here we go. Ready? This is what the preacher said. You are not important enough for Satan himself to waste his time with you. Yikes. Come on, church. Right? Come on. Is there demonic influence around us? Amen. Sure. Amen. Praise God. But you see what I'm saying? To sit there and say, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. I had lunch with a Filipino pastor 2 weeks ago. He's been 45 years in the ministry, found me on Facebook, was in the States, and we were talking about this. 45 years in the Philippines, man. And this is what he said. He goes, Pastor, look, I think, yes, the devil's real. The devil's out there, demons, blah, blah, blah. Fine. He goes, but you know what? 45 years of ministry, he goes, I think most people's problems are based off of poor decisions that they're making. The devil messes with Eve in the garden, tells her one lie. She grabs onto it. He sits back, has a coat, kicks his feet up, and watches the show. It's her own brain that starts working, and she starts, brr. He's like, all right, good to go. Yeah? Come on, church. I think sometimes what we blame the devil for is actually our own minds that are just wandering all over the place, and the devil ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah? So think about this. It is so easy to get caught up in the culture. I'm just looking right here. Come on. Yeah. Certainly seems like the devil is everywhere and running around unrestrained. But can I say to you, as I've been saying for weeks now, that is simply not true. It is not true. And you know what? The devil wants us to believe it's true because it's a lie. And he goes, the more you believe lies, the more powerful I am. Yeah? We pray and pray and pray that God will do something about all the evil out there. And God has been saying to his church for 2,000 years, I need to take care of the evil in here because the evil out there is from the evil that's in here. Oh, God. Fix. He says, oh, yeah, I'm trying. Y'all keep speaking into that. As we heard of our testimony this morning, y'all keep speaking death into that situation. And I've been working on that for 10 years, but you keep speaking death into it. So he says, I'm trying to fix what you're speaking into that situation. And man, you'd be surprised how fast the thing would turn around if you stopped killing it every day. Come on, church. Either life and death is in the power of our tongue or it is not. Either I can speak blessing or cursings out of the same mouth. This is what James says. There should not be blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. Right? God's saying, look, fruitful believers are believers who have life coming out. Yeah? Last thing right here. Notice all the miraculous things in this passage. I'd encourage you to go read this again, Exodus 23. Notice all the miraculous things that God says he will do to help us get to our promised land. And the only thing he's waiting on is the same thing from his people that he's always been waiting on. Will you be fruitful people? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name right here. Lord, we speak against every lie that might be still floating around in our minds about what it means to be fruitful. You guys remember last Sunday, I said, how many people feel like they're fruitful Christians? Like three of you sheepishly raise your hand. But think about how your life would look and how this church would look and how this region would look if a year from now I asked that question and every hand went shot straight up in the air. Pastor, I'm flowing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I just loving people, man. I'm just crying all day long because I just love everybody. I love people that a year ago I couldn't stand. I'm gentle, Pastor. All of a sudden, I'm not angry anymore. I'm gentle. There's kindness inside of me. I don't know where it's coming from. All of a sudden, I've got this burn in my heart to be faithful. Like, man, I used to struggle with that. I didn't want to be a man of my word or woman, but now I can't. Man, if I tell someone I'm going to do something, I got to do it. I can't I cannot do it. I can't sleep at night if I'm not faithful to my word. There's joy inside of me. This circumstance hasn't changed at all, but now there's joy. I don't know where it's coming from. I've got peace that passes understanding. So God, right now, here. God, we want to be fruitful people. Because you know what? I want the land that you've prepared for me. I want, like Caleb said, I'm as strong now as I was then. Give me my land. So Lord, whatever happened yesterday, last week, last month, we can't do nothing about that. We can start today and say, that's it. I'm going to be a fruitful follower of Christ. So Lord, raise our hands right now to you. In Jesus' name, we receive right now, God. We surrender, hands high. We surrender our own ways, our own rights, I feel this way, I feel this kind of way. Lord, we lay that all down right now. No matter what has happened to us, no matter what we need to forgive, God, but we take our eyes off of that and we fix our eyes on you, Lord. And we are asking in Jesus' name, help us, make us, fill us, let us be fruitful people, fruitful disciples of Christ, God. And as we become fruitful, the forgiveness will flow automatic. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Amen. Have a good week. Guys, if you need prayer for anything, if I said something today that really pricked you and you'd like more prayer, please come on up. We'll have some folks here praying for you. And Wednesday, prayer at 7 o'clock. We'll be back here and encourage everybody to come. If you can't make it, we'll be on Zoom as well. So guys, have a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.